Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, we are gathered for another piece of news, but first I must point out that we're sponsored by Logitech. They sent over some lovely G935 headphones with a lovely bit of extendable microphone thing on the side here, and some lovely lights, which I'll do a little bit of show off. Look at them. You've
hey,
got them as well.
Nice. I can barely see what you're doing, Scott, but I'm sure it's beautiful and excellent and shows off these lovely headphones as good as possible.
It's a lovely time. We did a Resident Evil 7 blindfold stream you can also check out where we tried to beat, and we did manage to beat Jack Baker entirely blindfolded just using the headsets. We'll talk a little bit more about them at the end because the news itself is a big old deal. Turns out Casey Hudson and Mark Darrah have both left BioWare. Casey Hudson, you might know from the Mass Effect trilogy. Dude was the executive producer on the original trilogy. He left BioWare in 2014. He came back in 2017. He then led Anthem as best as he could. And eventually, as of last night, he's left BioWare alongside Mark Darrah. Darrah is the dude that was not necessarily created Dragon Age, but he's been an executive producer on their both games. He's always been chipping in with that franchise. And both of their departures were announced by EA executive Laura Meal, which I thought was a weird beat. They sort of announced it on the BioWare blog, but it was EA saying like, oh, you know, they're actually going to choose to go on and do other things. And there are quotes from both Casey and Mark. With one point in Casey's one, he just says, I still have a tremendous amount of energy to create, but also I need to try something different. I'm not sure exactly what that is yet, but I know that I want to start by rediscovering my creative passion through more personal work. Now, obviously, we'll get your thoughts and stuff on it, but things like that, I'm like, okay, you didn't have something lined up. Like, they're very much, you know, retirements, and their statements are filled with, don't worry, guys, it's all going to be okay. Mass Effect Dragon Age will continue. But it's all a bit weird.
Yeah, 100%, Scott. And I mean, especially because this is the second time that Casey Hudson has left. I think he originally left in 2014, came back in 2017. Obviously, like you said, tried to steer Anthem and stuff, and then has left again. And it just doesn't bode well, I think, for like BioWare in general, no matter the studio, whether it's like BioWare Edmonton, BioWare Austin, or whatever. Because every single report from BioWare is an entire kind of business and institution has just sort of been damning. You know, we had the Kotaku reports, we had everything about Mass Effect Andromeda, everything about Anthem, all of the deep dives into the mismanagement at the top level, like, you know, creatives coming and going on these projects. And it feels like nothing has really been done to stop that. And it makes me just kind of worry about the future of these franchises and the studio in general, because, you know, I have such a fondness for BioWare. You know, obviously the people there are trying their hardest to create really good games. They've got really good IPs and people are looking forward to Dragon Age 4. People are looking forward to whatever the new Mass Effect turns out to be, the Mass Effect Legacy Edition that's coming out in 2021. And to see like creatives continue to leave again in such a kind of strange way like this, where it is very sort of corporate mandated. It's like when the MCU gets rid of people for creative differences, which is so vague that it's like, what does that mean? What has actually gone on? What's happening?
Well, the thing is, I started trying to look, because obviously I'm going to get into, because we just had the announcement of another Mass Effect. Like, yes, there was the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is the original trilogy, sort of remastered for the most part with 2 and 3, with Mass Effect 1 receiving apparently like a hell of a lot more work to bring it up to speed. Assumedly that'll be modernizing or bringing into line the shooting aspects and things like that, maybe make it more in line with Mass Effect 2 and 3. And then alongside that trilogy thing was, you know, we're doing the next proper Mass Effect, and it's with a veteran team. And, you know, I'm sure it was Casey Hudson who's had a statement alongside that, saying like, we can't wait to get stuck back in, and it's a veteran team, and you know, they just announced this stuff at N7 Day, which was like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so for it all to happen now, where like he's like, oh, actually I'm gonna go focus on some personal work and it's what I want to do and whatever, it kind of feels a hell of a lot more sudden. It kind of feels like they were potentially forced out. I mean, it's not like EA haven't done this stuff before and been extremely brazen with, you know, the likes of Amy Hennig when she was trying to get her Star Wars game off the ground. And there's that whole meeting that Kotaku wrote up where EA was saying like, you know, FIFA makes us X million dollars a year. Where's your version of that for this game? And I did find, I remember, you know, there was one of the talking points around the next Dragon Age was Casey Hudson saying that it's going to be a live service game. Mm-hmm. And so he did clarify that. He tweeted saying like, look, all I meant was that we were going to do continual storytelling after launch. It wasn't necessarily relating to, you know, monetization or something like that. But at the same time, EA have been very vocal about saying that this is the way that their games are going to go and that they're going to have, you know, all these sort of monetizable elements going forward. So I don't know, to me, just me, it feels like there's a clash between the way someone like, or people like Casey Hudson and Mark Darrow would want their franchises to go versus the reality of having EA as your publisher.
Yeah, I think that's always been like a major issue at the heart of this. And we've only seen that kind of wedge become expanded as the years have gone on. Like we saw it creeping into Mass Effect 3 with the multiplayer mode, which was good, but did feel kind of like a mandate, like they mandated the multiplayer to be on
Dead
Space 2.
Javik being DLC was always insane.
Yeah, you know, the day one DLC, you know, season passes, stuff like that. It's been creeping in for a long time. Obviously, that kind of culminated in a way with Anthem, which was very much this live service thing that according to reports, was built essentially in like a year and a half, like even though it was in development for about 5 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just, that's kind of, you know, a distinction between what EA likes, which is these monetizable services that they can push for years and years and people will be playing together with their friends and talking about it and buying skins or whatever, combined to what people really love about BioWare fundamentally, which is these story-driven, character-driven, single-player RPGs for the most part. And it's not like they have to be pigeonholed into that mold forever. They can do whatever they want. If they really want to do a live service game, then all the power to them, you know what I mean? But it's kind of, it's always felt like a mismatch because when it comes to like the drive and what they want to do, at least from the messaging that, you know, fans like me and you see, it's always seemed like this weird kind of like half step or this half measure where they're saying, yeah, we're going to include live elements, but also don't worry about them. We're still going to love Dragon Age because it's Dragon Age. We're still not going to go too far from the roots, but at the same time, we are looking down multiplayer offerings. I mean, you even saw it with like the messaging for Anthem when they were coming out and they were saying, yes, it's a live service, we're doing multiplayer, it's going to be good, but don't worry, we've got a character-driven, a really strong single-player story. And obviously, that didn't necessarily turn out to be true. And we've seen a bunch of creatives leave before, like I said before, Casey Hudson, this is the second time he's left. Mm. Mike Laidlaw, who was, you know, a major executive on Dragon Age before the current Dragon Age executive left, he left a few years ago
There's like, I mean, Drew Karpyshyn was a massive one, like the lead writer on Mass Effect 2 was replaced by Mark Wahlers towards the end of Mass Effect 2. And Mark Wahlers sort of got that game over the finish line, but Karpyshyn left, and then he came back, and then left again during Anthem, where it's just like the way Anthem rolled out. I get that if you read, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, it was very much a product of mismanagement on BioWare's part. But I just have to, it's a hell of a coincidence if BioWare taking a hell of a nosedive when he coincides with EA starting to try and run them a hell of a lot more. Because there's also, even back in 2012, the original BioWare founders, I always get their names wrong. It's Ray Mazzucca and Greg Zeshuk. They're the two doctors that formed BioWare back in the day. They left in 2012, which again is right around that period when, like I said, the curve started to appear, the downward curve. It's worth pointing out that Mark Darrow has been there for almost 20 years. He was the executive producer on Dragon Age. He was lead programmer on Baldur's Gate, Jade Empire. He was a programmer on Neverwinter Nights. He had a special thanks for Mass Effect. It's just that whole sort of idea of like this veteran team, kind of the same way as in Rockstar's case, where these people that were there for that initial run, because the BioWare run of the 2000s will go on to even, you know, only will become increasingly more legendary. Like that whole Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire, Baldur's Gate, like that whole late 90s, 2000s run, like Mass Effect and everything, is insane. Less said about the Sonic RPG, which I did see Mark Darrow was also involved in that. He did what he could. But yeah, it's worth quickly pivoting into the state of BioWare now, because the statements from both of these people do say, like, look, there's a lot of encouraging stuff going forward. Don't worry. It's not on fire. We just want to go and do something else. And if you take them at their word, then it's just two people bowing out because, you know, it's a 25th anniversary and they're about mm-hmm. to go do other things and everything's fine. Some staff that are still there. One is Mark Walters. Like I said, he's the guy that took over Mass Effect 2. Very divisive dude in the fandom, but I think that a lot of people just wanted someone to blame after Mass Effect 3. And as much as Casey Hudson took the brunt of that, a lot of it sort of went on to Mark Walters. And Walters also wrote Mass Effect Andromeda, or at least was a lead writer on Mass Effect Andromeda. So I guess it's quite easy to sort of point the finger at him, but he was still instrumental across the original trilogy. It's not like he doesn't have cred. It's just that I guess, like, you know, it's easy to point the finger. Another one as well is Patrick Weeks. They are a veteran writer on the trilogy. They're on the new project. Also on the Dragon Age side, Dara pointed out that Matthew Goldman is the creative director. He's another veteran staffer who's been there since the beginning. And actually, no, what are your thoughts on that stuff? Because I've got one more person. But what's your thoughts on Mark Walters, Mr. Mass Effect 3, Mr. Andromeda, taking the baton and running
with it? Yeah, I mean, even though I was deeply in the Mass Effect fandom at the time, Scott Telford, I know there's a lot of hatred towards this writer in particular, and I don't fully know 100% why. I know it's because, you know, obviously Drew Karpyshyn had a lot of ideas for what Mass Effect 3 was going to be, you know, the future of Mass Effect. They bowed out at the end of the second game and stuff, and it's like, it's cool. It's cool to have, like, these original, you know, BioWare employees and creatives and executives and stuff working on these new franchises. But ultimately, I feel like all BioWare needs is, like, a strong creative lead. Like, it doesn't really matter. I'm not someone who's here, like, BioWare can never change. It needs to be the exact same employees who made, you know, Jade Empire or Baldur's Gate or whatever, like, decades ago. Like, that's not true. Like, we've seen new blood come into studios over and over again, and those studios continue to make games. I don't think we should be inherently worried when people leave. For me, the issue here isn't that there's only a few people of the veteran team left or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always the messaging of how much the studio and the philosophy of studio jars with, like, the publisher's intentions and how much the people at the studio are wanting to make a game that is kind of different to what the, you know, the higher-ups want it to be and stuff, and the friction that ultimately results in games like Andromeda, which have a lot of ambition, have a lot of, like, creativity and strong aspects to them. Like, there's genuinely a lot to love, I think, about Andromeda. But there's also, you know, a lot of that failed potential. It looks nice, but I do think there's a nugget of something in there, is what I mean. Obviously, it wasn't realized. Obviously, there was problems with the project, but there are obviously talented people working at BioWare. And like Patrick Weeks said, it's like a team effort there. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's hard to believe it when I don't know. I don't want to, like, add, like conspiracies to the fire or whatever, but it's always hard to believe when executives leave, especially after just coming back and only really shipping one project, that they're, like, doing it, like, amicably, you know what I mean? It's always like, well, what's the real reason, you know what I mean? Because it's always so shady.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, I remember when Cliff Bleszinski left Gears, and obviously Rod Ferguson stayed, but we've got, like, you know, like, Gears 4 and 5 are so much fresher and so much less, like, you know, like, attitudinal as the original trilogy, and I love the original trilogy, but, like, it's that whole thing of, like, it can work without this sort of lead creator. Like, I remember David Jaffe leaving God of War, obviously Corey Barlog, like, you know, could not have done better with where he took God of War. So there's always that. On the Dragon Age side, Dara points out that Christian Daly is the new creative director. He's the person that has the least experience. If you go on, like, Moby Games, look at his history, what he's done before. And I did see Forbes did a whole write-up on, like, why is this dude in charge of this thing? Saying that Christian Daly has seen a meteoric, improbable rise from being in charge of Anthem's live updates after launch to then the 2.0 reboot to now apparently leading the highest profile project the studio has. That could be some necessary young blood in, you know, the Dragon Age space, and maybe that's what it needs. I do think it's weird, though, because BioWare, in regards to Dragon Age, put the trailer out against EA's wishes, just because they wanted to prove that they had something in the pipeline back in that post-Andromeda conversation of, you know, are they dead, are they going to go away, and they just put something out there to announce it, so that at least there would be, it would be a much bigger high-profile disaster if they then got canned by EA.
Yeah, It's such a strange, I'm in such a strange position here, Scott Telford, because I see this news break, and obviously it's, like you said, it's like meteoric, it feels huge, it's like, oh my god, is this the end of BioWare or whatever, however hyperbolic you want to be, but at the same time, like, thinking about their recent projects and stuff, thinking about Anthem, thinking about Andromeda, I'm like, sometimes, maybe it is time for something new, maybe it's time to stop, like, having this friction at the heart of these projects. Maybe it's time for someone new to come in and kind of be the one to steer the ship and make it right or something. Because even with like Anthem and Dragon Age, so far we've only really got promises. We've got promises that Anthem 2.0 is going to be this amazing thing and is going to save that IP. We've got promises that Dragon Age 4 is going to be exactly how you think it's going to be. But like you said, we've only seen like a trailer and a few screen grabs. I think it was from the last EA Play of like this project. And it's so much is riding on these projects. And I'm just so conflicted, man, because I'm like, on the one hand, you see these people going, and I'm like, well, that's those projects ruined. But on the other hand, there's still a bunch of people there and people that they could bring in that could, you know, make really good games, hopefully steal a ship. And I want to believe that after Anthem, after Andromeda, that EA has at least got the memo too, and like they're not going to repeat those same mistakes and just drive another studio into the ground like they did with Visceral or whatever before, you know, so many studios beforehand.
And honestly, the more you look into BioWare's history and the more you look at the cross-pollination of staff, like, it's not, it wasn't, Casey Hudson did not give us Mass Effect. Like, it was always a team of people. It was always more than just him, Drew Karpyshyn, Mark Walters, Michael Aidlaw, whatever. Like, there are enough staff there. It's also the same with, well, this is a weird example because I don't think Konami can do another Metal Gear without Kojima because there's so much of him in there. But even on the Kojima side, it wasn't just him. He had a co-writer throughout the run of Metal Gear. It's not like he didn't have a staff, a team of people. So yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a thing. Let us know what you think down in the comments below as to the future of BioWare, the future of Mass Effect, and the future of Dragon Age. We're going to talk a little bit about these headphones, though, only for sort of 30 seconds or a minute or so, because they're pretty damn cool. You're coming through clearer than ever, Mr. Josh Brown.
It's nice doing them because I don't have to do my hair either. I can just whack these bad lads on and just have a go. Though I do want to like quickly point something out before we leave. And that's how terrible your instructions were, Scott, when we did that Resident Evil stream. You were supposed to be helping.
I
literally just had to rely entirely on the headphones to get through, which, you know, I did eventually. Got the worst time, partly because of you, but I don't think I would have finished it if I actually couldn't hear where Jack Baker was coming from.
That you didn't walk backwards when I said run forward, and you didn't shoot the gun when I said run forward and shoot the gun, that you were walking backwards around the corner, Josh Brown, because that's exactly what you did.
It was a stressful time. I could just hear him breathing down my neck, you know what I mean? Like, I don't react well under pressure, especially when Jack Baker is trying to make me mulch.
Trying to feed you someone's spine left, right, and center. You can't get enough of it. But yeah, I was going to say, anyone who is obviously still sticking around on this video, you can go over and watch our Resident Evil blindfolded stream. With the power of these headphones, we managed to get through. And we all, you know, registered a time. JB was just a little bit over, just a little smidge. He got there, he still defeated him. And also, there's a link down in the description, which is an affiliate link. If you follow that, that helps us with the channel, it helps us with our sponsorship type stuff, and maybe we'll be able to do more things like this. So yes, let us know anything down in the comments below of all the Mass Effect type stuff, all the BioWare type stuff, and all of whatever you think of these fancy headsets. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.